20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us again today. My name is Dan Kotnick, and I am excited because today I am getting my first experience in this new blended family experience here. I'm joining a already dynamic duo that you know very well on the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Getting to hang out with Matt Frelick and, for the first time, Janelle Maggie. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. It's good to be back with Janelle. Janelle and I haven't really heard each other's voices much, Janelle, or even seen each other in the last, 2 months. And then I was hanging out with Dan and Chris talking draft. But, Janelle, how are you?
I'm good. The stress of finals. I think I'm the only one on the podcast still in school.
We're
the younger ones, but yeah, sure. Finals week, and yeah, I haven't been on the podcast in a while because draft started and I just kind of disappeared for a while, but I'm excited to be with this new little team here.
You're immersing yourselves in NHL, Janelle, don't lie.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
You lost me in the playoffs, that's true.
It was perfect timing.
I was going to ask if you meant academic finals or Stanley Cup finals. So there's a distinction that needs to be made with Janelle, especially.
I mean, both finals, but you know which one takes precedence.
Right. Well, I mean, you did wait for the perfect. I mean, we're recording on Monday night, and you waited exactly until intermission of Game 2 here in the Western Conference Finals for us to get started. So, you know, you can give us all the excuses you want. We just know you were watching that second period.
Catching on pretty quick.
No, thanks for joining us today, everybody. We're going to go in an interesting route, I think, on the episode today. With it being the off season, there's a lot of different ways that we can go with episodes between now and, really the start of OTAs and training camp. And, as a lot of people are kind of looking inwards at the Packers and, the fallout from draft weekend and free agency and undrafted free agents and everything like that, I had sort of an interesting thing come across my plate that I shared with you guys. And I think it was something that would kind of stimulate us in this off season, thinking a different way and just kind of getting outside of the box of the normal kind of stuff. So I have to give a shout out to a buddy of mine. I should say a mate of mine, David Lidskong. He is a diehard Green Bay Packer fan that I met at opening day this past year. He is from England and he made his first trip to Green Bay and Lambeau for opening day this past year. And he's seriously probably one of the biggest Packer fans I've ever met. And he shared with me this article from the BBC that got published this past week about the NFL opening their first academy in London. So if you're not familiar with how it works, it's a lot like how English soccer teams over there kind of work things, where these professional teams recruit kids in high school and younger. They go to these academies and while they're still getting their education, learn and develop their craft. And so obviously this being football, it's a pipeline basically for kids in London, the North London area, to kind of see if they can make a transition into the American game and hopefully move on to college. It'll be up in Barnett Southgate College in North London, which is right near Tottenham Hotspur, the Premier League team who just opened up their new stadium, which is actually the most NFL-friendly stadium over there. The NFL directly invested in this new stadium to have NFL games be played there. So it kind of opens the door for a lot of new things. And obviously, guys, for the past about 8-10 years now, the NFL has had a very heavy presence with these international games and things like this, and this is just kind of the next step. So I kind of wanted to use this as a jumping off point to talk more about what the NFL is doing to grow the game and younger kids in London and England, and also kind of take a look at how it affects the younger kids over here in America, and should we be kind of considering a different way of looking at, you know, the way we develop NFL football players here in the States? So I guess just the first kind of question to start off with, it's a real simple icebreaker. What are your guys' thoughts on what the NFL has been doing with this international series? You know, the games in London, do you enjoy them? Do you like to see more of them, see less? Just overall thoughts on it.
Go ahead, Janelle.
Just to start, like, I do really like the idea. I like branching out across the seas. I think sports in general really connect the world. So just even spread it outside of the U.S. I think is important, and it's big, and there is people who aren't in the U.S. that do love football. So I think kind of branching out like that is good in a lot of different aspects, whether it's ratings or just like people being able to be exposed to the game. I think it's great.
Yeah, I agree. That's a really good point, Janelle. I think sports do connect the world. It kind of gives you like that, maybe depending on the sport, I mean, 2-3 hours of just like, we can put our differences aside. You see that a lot in the Olympics. And I think it needs to be an expanded game. American football is huge. I mean, it's obviously, it's wanted over in London, Dan, as you said, there's a buddy of yours that you met. It's wanted in Mexico. It's wanted internationally since the, the NFL Europe folded, what was it, over a decade ago. I mean, I think it's still wanted there. So, and you see talent coming from overseas, you know, guys like OCU Manura, Jay Ajayi, just to name a couple. And obviously there's more than just, you know, a few thousand buff and strong and freakishly athletic dudes that are in the United States. I mean, they're all over this world because you see them playing football, you see them playing, or excuse me, I guess it'd be soccer. See them playing basketball, you know, in the Olympics as well. So it would be great to just get all of those players maybe into one league in one continent, or, you know, spread it globally.
Yeah, and I'll echo your guys' thoughts on it too. You know, personally, I love when we get to see an NFL game in London. Not only for the fact that it's just kind of a different experience of getting to wake up early on Sundays. Now, for some of us over here that do watch English soccer, it runs into my Premier League time, but I really don't mind it because it's kind of a cool experience to see, you know, what it can be like over there. And it really, for like Janelle kind of said, connecting us all with sports, it's so cool for me to see, you know, basically what's a different culture connect with something that's so close to our culture here. You know, and I mean, developing the game, you know, has proven time and again in different countries to just make the game absolutely better. If we can go back to something Janelle and I obviously love, is hockey. I mean, really, if you look at kind of those early days of the NHL moving into America, you know, that was kind of those Bobby Orr days. A lot of people kind of credit that as, you know, the success that you saw in the 80s and the rise of the NHL and the American players taking over what was essentially a foreign game. And so to do the same with the NFL, I think, is only a good thing. And, yeah, you know, you brought up the NFL Europe, Matt. Would you like to kind of see a... Is it something that can be attempted again here soon? Because, I mean, with the folding of the AFL in basically what was, you know, half of a season, and then the XFL is starting to get back into it, you've got the Canadian Football League up north, which plays during the summer. Is it the right time for the NFL to do something like this? Or do you think that it's something more that the NFL should stay with kind of this series that they do now, maybe move it around to different countries and avoid kind of a full-on league?
Yeah, I think it's – I really just don't know if the NFL knows what the heck they want to do. Like, NFL Europe was, like, the most successful non-NFL league. I mean, it started in 91 and, I mean, lasted for 16 years. Very, very, you know, highly recognizable names coming out of there, from Dante Hall, Jake Delhomme, David Akers, Kurt Warner, Adam Vinatieri. I mean, there's guys that played in NFL Europe that were impacted the NFL. I mean, Kurt Warner, for God's sakes, won a few Super Bowls and an MVP. So it's weird to me that NFL Europe was the one that's the only one that was like real successful. I know people know of the XFL and the AAF, and you know, people have heard of the United Football League. Canadian Football League also super successful, but to me, Dan and Janelle, it doesn't seem like the NFL has like really fully wrapped their arms around the idea of like, hey, let's integrate these one of, you know, with us. I know the NFL Europe did that a little bit with a few North American teams in the early 90s, but it didn't really last too long. I feel like it's almost one of the things where the NFL wants to see all these startup leagues kind of like go through their bumps and bruises, and then they're going to just grab on. You know what I'm saying? Like, take you guys can start your own leagues, or four or five of you, and then whichever one lasts the longest or everyone looks more successful or sexier, we're going to grab that and, you know, invest even more money into it. Now, whether that turns into an international league or not, I think that is the push for the NFL, as we've seen, you know, with the London games, with the Mexico City games, which brings up another point. I mean, the London games have been successful from what I've seen. Mm-hmm. The Mexico City ones have been a flop here and there. I mean, you've had games where the field's not up to par, and there's just, it's just poor, I guess, kind of planning, even though you have, you know, 7 or 8, 9 months, it seems, to get something right. And I think they are pushing for sure to an international game. I just don't know what direction they want to take it. If they want to make it like a whole nother, I guess, conference, like do you put 16 more teams, you know, internationally, something like NFL Europe, possibly there's those bigger teams or bigger conference, or do you want to just, you know, maybe integrate four of them into, you know, each league, you know, 2 and 2 or 4 and 4. I don't know what direction I want to take it. And it's just, I think it's one of those things where people that have like so much money, they don't know what to do with it. They don't know what the next best way to make their next billion or trillion dollars really is.
Yeah, I think you're right. And really, for the NFL's case, they're making money hand over fist at this point. So really, there's no...
Barely. They're barely making money. Let's relax, okay? I mean, as an NFL owner, I don't see a dime of that, so I don't know what I'm supposed to be talking about here.
Yeah, there's about 30,000 NFL owners right now that are screaming out for their paychecks. So I think really for London, how does this grab you guys? Instead of maybe developing the league over there before anything, thoughts of maybe a Super Bowl happening in London before anything else? Because I mean, there's been 24 games that have taken place in London. Four have failed to reach the 80,000 mark in attendance, and you know, all those other ones, they're averaging about 73,000-75,000 a game, you know, which is pretty much on par with a normal NFL, you know, weekday game. Yeah, at you know, Jacksonville or Indianapolis or, you know, anywhere else, any of these other teams that, you know, kind of struggle throughout the season. And so I think the next ultimate step for the NFL is to really bring this thing over there. And I think that's to have a Super Bowl in, you know, Wembley Stadium or in the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I think that's kind of your next move before you bring a league. And you raise a lot of good questions, Matt. There's so many logistical issues with it, you know, the time difference, and you know, you've got players that come on and off practice squads, and are they going to have to travel, you know, five time zone difference to get over there and then to come back, you know, which I think kind of transitions us back into the state conversation is, well, why not have some of these things over there that are developing here in the States? And should the NFL be investing more in developing the game back here on home soil? So I think we'll start. Let's get our resident college expert on this, Janelle. You know, with the way that things are set up here for the NFL, like we said, there's really no urgent need for them to change anything because right now things are working pretty darn well for them. Is there changes to the college model that you would like to see? You know, what is your thought on the state of football here in America? Are there changes that the NFL should be making or that you would like to see kind of made to the younger side of the game?
Yeah, so you kind of brought up like bringing a Super Bowl across seas, and immediately I think like that's gonna upset a lot of people over here, but a lot of people over there are gonna love it. So I'm wondering if like that younger demographic, maybe doing like some bowl games instead of a Super Bowl, maybe do like college bowl games over there.
That's a great idea. I'm glad you brought that question to the college soon to be grad. That was, I did not think of that.
That's a really good idea.
Bowl games. You can do a couple over there, and it's a little bit like it's obviously less than the Super Bowl, but it still brings a whole new level of football over there instead of just like, oh, a week four game over in Europe. It's actually a game that still matters, and without having to take away one of the biggest events over here in America.
That's an awesome. Well, I mean, and they've already done that a couple with. I think they were just regular. I don't know if they were regular season games or preseason game warmups. I know Notre Dame has played over there in Dublin, I think, once or twice. So yeah, that's super awesome to see. And I think too, because you know, and I don't mean to jump in on you here, Janelle, but talking with my buddy in England, you know, it's such a stark contrast between college athletics here and it is over there. You know, over here, you know, when we talk college athletics in a minor league system for the NFL, that's essentially what we have now with the NCAA, is a free minor league system for the NFL. And over there, not so much. Like, if you want to play sports professionally, you kind of have to go through this academy setup. And so, yeah, Janelle, I absolutely love your idea about, you know, and I think that too goes back to the whole culture thing. What has more culture than college athletics? I mean, can you imagine Wisconsin fans doing jump around in a soccer stadium?
Yeah, that'd be incredible. That would be incredible. That, no, that's for sure.
So, back to a minor league system. I mean, if we look at this and say you guys are the NFL commissioner for, well, it won't be a day because obviously you'd have to, you know, stick with this. But if you had the power to create a minor league kind of system in the NFL, how would you kind of go about setting it? Like, what are things that you would want to see? How, like, where do they play? Are they playing in the summer? Are they playing at the same time as NFL players? Are they allowed to come straight out of high school? Do these teams have a direct involvement to their minor league teams? Like, do they have ownership in them? Do they just contract with them? What do you guys just say? If you had the ultimate power here, what does a minor league system here in America look like to you?
I think for starters, it has you have to have the teams, all 32 teams, buy in. So whether that means that, you know, it's a smaller roster than, you know, a 53, I think it definitely has to be. I think it's more of like a feeder roster, and it's definitely more than seven as a practice squad would be. I think it's somewhere around probably total like that 90 roster that we look at, you know, before preseason hits. So first and foremost, you have to expand the roster and then have the teams have, I guess, contracts with them. Luckily, I have a few colleagues that we talk sports all day. I work in an environment where we're working, but we're talking about sports. And someone brought it up the other day, like, why didn't the AAF play at the same time as the NFL? I'm like, well, you know, that really doesn't give guys an opportunity to possibly sign to an NFL team. And then they're like, well, why don't they structure it, you know, towards the summer? It's like, well, then it kind of screws up a guy. Like, if you have a guy that's playing in April through August, then all of a sudden he gets done with his AAF season or his XFL season, then he signs to an NFL team, then he's playing August through February potentially. That's a lot of wear and tear in your body to think you're going to be able to withstand that. So as far as time wise, I don't know. I don't think it can overlap at all, because you're going to want to use those players potentially. And no one's going to watch those games. I'm not going to watch the games. I'm already sitting wasting a lot of time, as my girlfriend would like to say, on Mondays, Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays watching ball. Like, there's no, when else am I going to sit and watch football, honey? Like, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday? Like, I'm never going to leave the house. So, like, and I'm not going to sit and watch, like, I wouldn't watch it. Like, I tried to watch the AAF. I tried to pretend I was a big Birmingham Iron fan, and, like, it didn't happen. Like, I watched a few games, and, like, that was it. So I think it has to, there's a, maybe that's the problem the NFL is coming across too, is the one in my head is like, when do you have the season like integrated with the NFL schedule? Maybe you have it for the first 8 weeks and then like around the trade deadline, like you can sign those players or something. But I absolutely feel there has to be a minor league system. We'll get into that more here. I'm sure you guys as hockey fans, and I'm sure we're baseball fans and NBA fans. I am like, it just amazes me that a, you know, an industry like the NFL that's super popular with all the physical ramifications that come across with concussion and everything else, you don't expand your roster and at least give those guys an opportunity from whether it is high school or college to make a name for themselves. Like, why shouldn't a high school kid who's 18, 19 years old, who doesn't maybe, you know, have the same looks as he would because he's coming out of a small school in northern Wisconsin, not be able to go and, you know, try to play offensive line for like some, I already came up with a name. It'd be the Madison Way. So like W-H-E-Y, it'd be the Packers affiliate. I already came up with that. You guys can work that as a running title.
Yeah, and kind of to go along with what you said with like what timeline would they run. So kind of what I'm thinking with that is it sounds like, I don't know, maybe I misunderstood. It sounds like you kind of want them to be separate or like together, no overlap. Like it's either they're completely separate or completely
And I don't even have a real answer, Janelle, which sucks. Like, I wish I had one because it's like, okay, so you have them, like, I don't see a perfect scenario.
Personally, I guess, like, going back to big hockey fan and the way I see, like, NHL work with their AHL teams, they play at the same time, which there is a lot of benefit to that. I think the ratings would drop for it just because people are going to focus more on the NFL versus the minor league, but it benefits the players in the sense that they're still in that in-season mentality. And let's say there's injuries or you want to pull someone up or drop someone down. I think having the seasons at the same time benefits in that aspect. Like, let's say somebody goes down week two, they go through their physical therapy and then they come back, but they play on the minor league team for maybe one game. And then they come back up to the NFL level. So I think kind of in that aspect, because I know like that's what I see when I watch NHL, people drop down just to kind of even recover from an injury, or if somebody's playing really well, you can pull them up because it's still within the season. So I think there's definitely a lot of questions that go into it because football is a completely different game than like hockey or basketball. It's a game that you play once a week versus like three times a week. So there is a lot of questions that go into it, but I guess on my personal stance, just watching what I watch and other sports, I would put them together just so that the players can kind of have that benefit.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Janelle on that. I think you've got to have them play at the same time. And, you know, with the way that hockey and a lot of other sports work, you know, I work very closely with a minor league hockey team. They don't play as many games. I mean, the NHL plays, I believe it's 82 or roughly 82 games in a season. And, you know, down in the ECHL, the second tier, they play 60 games. So you know, it's a bit of a less of a schedule for me. The way that I kind of imagined it was it running at the same time, but if you've got 32 minor league teams each week, the way I kind of saw it was only 16 teams are going to play every other week. So your minor league team is only going to play an 8-game season. And they'll play every other week, so you kind of have this rotation of when teams play so that your players aren't playing as long. They're not playing as many games. They have a bye week essentially between each and week to recover and keep them healthy. And then if you have someone down that's, you know, in a pseudo rehab situation, they have that kind of, you know, break. And, you know, I could see it – honestly, I could really see it working if the NFL – fully committed to this, and I think it's more than just the teams, but the NFL really has to put its brand and its money behind this to make it work. And if you get teams and fans saying these are your future players that are going to be playing for you in a couple of years, I really think you would get people to stand up and get behind these guys. And if you, I mean, if you put it on something like they play Tuesdays and Wednesdays in the middle of the week when there's no NFL games on, I mean, heck, as a former Bowling Green Falcon, like, I can tell you all about Maction, man. Like, you know, playing Tuesday and Wednesday night games at 6:30 on ESPN2. I think it could work. And I'm really glad, Matt, that you brought up your name, because I almost went the same way. I went Madison for my Packers minor league team, the Madison Trappers. Their helmet looks like a coonskin cap. And I think that's where it all starts, is the branding with the uniforms for me. But so really, I think what we've kind of come to is that we'd like to kind of see something change a little bit, but at the same time here, I don't know if you agree with my stance on that. The NFL at this point really doesn't have a need to change what's going on. So a lot of this is just kind of wishful thinking for the time being, but still something to be desired for the fans. And I think too, one of my things with it was I really dislike the whole amateurism style with college football and basketball and things like that. And I think that this kind of system takes away from that sham and really puts the emphasis on giving kids that want to focus on sports the ability to, and give them an environment to actually succeed in something other than sports if they so choose. So that's really my kind of final words on the topic. Is there anything else you guys wanted to kind of throw in there as we're talking through all of this?
Yeah, I will add to that. I feel like you're kind of right, Dan. The fact that maybe there isn't a minor league system is because there's already one in place, and it's called the NCAA. So they don't really, I mean, what? If it's not broke, don't fix it. I mean, you have 100 plus schools of D1 players that are going to basically filter themselves out of the system, whether they be, you know, through injury or just not, you know, cutting it or up to skill level. And then they get drafted in the 7 rounds and they have a chance to get undrafted free agent and work their way onto a team. I mean, it's kind of already set up that way. And then in addition, like, if you're going to have games on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, if they were to do this, I think something like putting it on YouTube, like a live stream, mm-hmm. or Facebook, I've seen some success with some media outlets doing that, because that's a quick and easy way for someone just to be scrolling through their Twitter feed or their Facebook feed and see a link to YouTube or whatever it is and just pop it in that way instead of actually having to tune into something like ESPN2 or ESPN The Ocho.
Janelle, any final thoughts or anything you want to add to the overall discussion?
I think kind of like you said, it's really wishful thinking. There's just so much that really has to go into it that you don't even think about. I know just like other sports are completely different with their college aspect. I know like hockey, you can like give away your rights and still play. So you can commit to a team mm-hmm. and still continue your college career. So like, if you bring in a completely different league, does it alter the draft? Like, how does it affect everything? Like, it would really alter the way that the NFL works completely. And like you said, they don't really have a need for the change. But I think people, like, are kind of hoping for something different because it's just been so constant for so long that they just want, like, they want something different to look forward to. And I think that a minor league, as difficult as it is, and I know that the way college football works, that, yeah, it kind of basically is a minor league of its own. But bringing in, just adding in, like, those extra teams can give so much more opportunity to people who maybe you don't see in the draft, but all of a sudden you kind of see them in practice and you're like, okay, this guy's the real deal, or there's a bust and you kind of want to drop him down a level. There's just so many questions and so much strategy that would have to go into it. But if they could find a way to make it work, and if everybody's all in on it, like, I think it could be really fun to watch and really interesting just to see how it changes college football, NFL, and everything in between.
Before we end this, Janelle, Matt and I gave our Hokie Packers minor league sports teams names. And so I have a feeling you, since you didn't bring it up by yourself, that you don't have one, but I'm going to put on the spot now. You need to give me a really cheesy minor league Packers sports team name.
I mean, Madison, that's definitely the city, but at the same time, I don't want Madison because that's like when I get rich in the future and I buy an NHL team, that's where I'm moving it. So I don't want to take too much away from that. But, yeah, I mean, I was kind of just messing around with it. Obviously, like, my brain's in a million different places with all the homework I'm doing, but I feel like you have to incorporate cheese somehow. Or like, I know that the Brewers already exist, but we have to figure out something that really speaks the language of Wisconsin. I think with beer already being taken, you have to go cheese. So I'm wondering if just something as simple as like the Madison cheese curds or the cheese heads or like, I don't know, string cheese, anything like in that area, even it like ironically a cheesy nickname like that. But I mean, like, that's just where my brain was going. But
My brain went a little south. I'm just thinking something as crude as just the Madison farts. It kind of incorporates the beer and the cheese at the same time.
Is there a bratwurst angle that we're missing to all of this?
Saturated fats should be more included, I think, yes.
Awesome. Well, okay, before, and if I can get a last word in it, like a one more thing kind of thing here, something that I totally forgot to bring up. When I was kind of doing some just basic research on NFL Europe, I don't know if anyone else knew this or if it came out when he had his 15 minutes of fame, but Big Baller himself, LeVar Ball, is actually a veteran of the NFL Europe, and for one season was a London Monarch, and LeVar Ball recorded 28 yards in kick returns for the London Monarchs in NFL Europe. So that is your one thing, FF, fun fact for the day, before he went off and, you know, does whatever he does now at this point. Well, I think that just about wraps it up for us. I really hope that you guys enjoyed this. I think we had a really good time in doing this. Just something to get kind of the creative juices flowing a little bit. I know for Janelle, I hope this was a bit of a mental break for you in finals time. And just a fun way to kind of kick around ideas for the future and what we would like to do with the NFL. So I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it. Remember, as always, to rate, subscribe, review. You can follow us on Twitter at Packaday Podcast, where you can follow the podcast. You can follow myself on Twitter at DK All The Way. Matt, Janelle, tell people where they can find you guys.
You can find me on Twitter at Matt_Frey_. That's at MATT_FRA_. And side note, the Packers did sign Mike Tyson today, not the boxer, the, I guess, secondary gentleman that'll be matched up with Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage.
Talk Go about ahead. Hard-hitting safeties.
For sure. Go ahead, Janelle.
Yeah, and then you can find me on Twitter at BigMac_4. Hopefully, I'm back to Twitter a little bit more after my little hiatus while I find myself in the library and in the books. But yeah, that's where you can find me. And then, yeah, can't wait to get back to talking about football and stop going to class.
Talking about football, and then, well, before then, we'll have hockey, because probably by the next time we record here, Janelle and I are going to have words about a possible Bruins-Sharks Stanley Cup final coming up. If your boys, Janelle, can get this together.
Yeah, okay. What?
Because I'm watching right now, and it's been a little rough.
They'll come back from it. Not worried. I did predict a Sharks-Bruins Stanley Cup. And then, as much as it hurts being a big Charlie Coyle fan, I would have to go with the Sharks. So, like, I'm really rooting for them. On top of all of the stress that I have, watching multiple Game 7 series and overtimes and double overtimes, I have gray hair. So, I think they've definitely, like, the Packers already kind of bring my lifespan down a little bit, and then playoff hockey happens and it drops even more. So we're just going to hope I make it to the next podcast.
We'll figure it out. And Janelle has promised us that she's going to shout out the podcast on her mortarboard once she figures out what a mortarboard is. So take a look out for that.
It's a graduation cap.
I would have no idea.
Well, guys, this was fun. I enjoyed coming in and being like the new stepdad in this whole, situation. It's a lot of fun. I hope you guys stay with us throughout the rest of the offseason. We'll be back in 2 weeks from now. But until then, we'll finish off with a big Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Sunday Night Football in the start of a historic season for the Green Bay Packers. Rodgers in the shotgun. Here's the snap. Rushes on. Rodgers nowhere to go, and he's snowed under. Back inside the 30, and Rodgers is down. Roy Robertson, Harris, Khalil Mack. And Rodgers unable to get up. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Down at 19 from the Green Bay 30. Snap to Kizer under pressure. Immediately dumps it up right side. It's intercepted. Intercepted by Khalil Mack. Circle route to the 15, to the 10. He's to the 5 of the end zone. Touchdown. Oh, my goodness. Khalil Mack had a sack, fumble recovery, interception return for a touchdown. To go in the third, Chicago 20, Green Bay nothing.
Wayne, I actually see Aaron on the sideline throwing.
Well, that's a good sign. Yep, he is. Up the shotgun, snap to A-Rod. Looking downfield, throws it over the middle. Randall Cobb is there. Makes a spinning grab just outside the left hash mark. J.K. Scott, Mason Crosby. Here's the snap. Placement made. Kick is up. And it is good. So the Packers on the board with 3:37 to go in the third. Snap to A-Rod, looking around and waiting. Lost it. Deep down the right side. Allison in the end zone. Makes a spectacular catch. Touchdown.
What a throw and what a catch.
And the Packers get back into it. 39-yard bomb from Aaron Rodgers to Geronimo Allison. Corey Linsley on the snap. Four-man line for the Bears. They're coming on a blitz up the middle. They pick it up. Rodgers looks. Locked. Left side. Got a man out there. Got the left side. Like the 50. Cutting right to the 40. Turns up field to 35. 30 to the 25. And down they go. Inside the 25. At the Chicago 20. Snap to Rodgers under a blitz. Rodgers tight pocket. Steps up. Throws a left. Got Devontae inside the 10. Head fake. Cuts left to the 5. Reaches. Snap to A-Rod. Rushes on. Has time.